Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with Monday Night Raw. Randy Orton opens up the show, and he pretty much comes out to show last week's footage of Matt Hardy coming out and demanding an explanation as to why he did what he did to Edge.
Yeah, and I was hoping for an explanation from Randy Orton, as you said, but him being Randy Orton did not give us an explanation. What does he end up doing? He ends up attacking Matt Hardy again, and this time using a steel chair on the steel steps.
Yeah, so before I'm going to fast forward into that part, Matt Hardy comes out, and yet again he asks, why did you do what you did? And he was like, well, you know what? I respect you, and I always will. I love Edge like he's my brother. And this is the part where he leaves everybody confused, because it's like, if you loved him as if you were your brother, you wouldn't have done what you did. And as Armando said, he proceeds to attack Matt Hardy, and he does RKO him, and then he brings him down to the steel steps and pretty much hits him with a chair. Not once, but twice. And the craziest part is, after he does that, he sits down in the steel chair and just watches and kind of just has that vindictive smile on his face, as if he enjoyed it, as he really liked and was really proud of what he had just done.
Not only that, but I feel that a lot of it has to do from Randy Orton's past. If you remember when he was champion, when he was with Evolution, Evolution pretty much betrayed him, and what that was his brother's, and he was pretty much molded by them. So I feel that that has a lot to do with what he's doing right now in the main roster and with everybody. He doesn't trust anybody. So what does he do? He attacks, regardless of whether you're on his side or not.
Yes, he does have that type of history. You can never trust Randy Orton, and that is exactly what he's been proving. However, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when Edge comes back and how he's going to portray against Randy Orton. And he has to be very vigilant, because Randy is a very dangerous competitor, and you never know if when he comes back if Randy's going to attack, which more than likely he is, but Randy likes to play those mind games. So Edge, be very, very aware.
And knowing Randy's going to try to apologize, try to get on his good side, and what's going to happen? Like you said, he is probably going to attack.
And Matt Hardy, I don't know, there's a lot of rumors going around. We won't speak on it because we don't know what's true and what's not. But at the end of the day, we wish nothing but the best for Matt Hardy. Hope he's okay. And yeah. Get started with the very first match of the night. Eric Rowan versus Aleister Black.
First of all, Eric Rowan and Aleister Black, you analyzed their matches in the previous weeks. They've been on a winning streak. They haven't lost. So this is going to be a great test for both of them. Not only that, but also Aleister. At the beginning of the match, we kind of saw him struggle a little bit with Eric Rowan. And I think all that had to do was with Eric Rowan's power and his size. I think he wasn't really comfortable yet, but as soon as he was able to get comfortable and break down Eric Rowan, he was able to be successful.
I think he just had to adjust. Obviously, he's not used to this type of match, and I say this because he's been facing local talent over the last couple of weeks, and after Murphy, he really didn't have a feud, and we knew he's been looking for that type of feud, and he finally got that competitor with Eric Rowan. And I think Aleister Black went prepared into this match. Once he adjusted, he was ready to go. Eric Rowan, on the other hand, I feel like this time he was fully focused. I don't think he was really concerned that Aleister was going to worry too much about what was in the cage. I think he went in there prepared and ready, and at some point he had Aleister Black exactly where he wanted him.
Yeah, and I think the difference maker was Aleister Black's speed. I think Eric Rowan just couldn't keep up with him, how quick Aleister moves in the ring, and I think that was a huge difference throughout the match.
Definitely, the striking ability definitely does come into play in this type of match, and Aleister Black came out victorious. Now it's going to be interesting to see where this leads. Who's Aleister Black's next competitor? What's next for Eric Rowan? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, let's move on to Charlotte Flair, who basically comes out and says, last night I was at NXT TakeOver Portland. I went there to show and finally give Rhea Ripley her answer.
Put it this way, in the Rhea Ripley match and Bianca Belair, it was a pretty much given that Charlotte Flair had to come out and give an answer. And what was her answer? She said that she was going to see Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania.
Yeah. She said the only reason why she accepted Rhea Ripley's challenge is because she doesn't like the entitlement coming from the girls down in NXT. She's like, I was down there. I pretty much created NXT. I had to crawl. I had to do everything in my power to get NXT where it is today, because back when Charlotte was there, they didn't have the Performance Center. They didn't have what NXT has now. And she feels like she played a huge part in that, and you have to give her credit for that. She is a huge trailblazer for NXT, and she wants to go down there and show Rhea Ripley, you know what, this is my brand, this is the way I run this business, and she wants to show that she's the best.
Not only that, but if you also keep in mind, Charlotte has already faced Becky Lynch, and she's also faced Bayley. So what, I think she's also looking for new competition, and what better way to do it than with the NXT Women's Champion Rhea Ripley.
Very smart move by the WWE, putting Charlotte Flair with Rhea Ripley. There's so much that they can actually do. She's definitely going to put Rhea Ripley over, I can guarantee you that. However, I think if you add somebody like Bianca Belair into this match, maybe potentially make it a triple threat, I think there's a lot more that can come out of this match, and it will be beneficial not only for Rhea, but for Bianca as well. And obviously, Charlotte doesn't need that win.
I can see that happening, and I gotta say, I was really impressed by Bianca Belair during the Royal Rumble match. He just completely tore the house down, and also in NXT TakeOver a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, she definitely has proven she's going to be a top star, and I think her time is now, and I think if you add her into this match, we could potentially see one of the greatest matches, not only in WrestleMania history, but in the women's division itself. All right, let's move on to R-Truth versus Mojo Rawley versus Rick Moss for the 24/7 championship.
You got to give props to Mojo Rawley since the get-go. Why? Because he has been the one that's trying to make the title more relevant. It's not that R-Truth or any other competitor has done it, but you got to respect that he wants to go out there and defend it every single night.
But also keep in mind, he had already lost it to Rick Moss. And the fact that they're even having this match really shows that they're really trying to portray the 24/7 championship as something that could maybe be serious, you know, and both of these competitors have experience with the 24/7 championship. They both hold it very dear to their heart, but I really have to give credit to R-Truth. I think his talent is absolutely incredible. He is great in the mic, he is great inside of the ring, and I think he was the star of this entire match.
He was, but he was just unfortunate because Rick Ross was pretty much waiting for the right moment to steal the match, the win, if you want to call it that way.
Yeah, and Mojo Rawley was super upset because he's like, look what you've done, look what you've done. I don't really think it was R-Truth's fault. I just feel like in the moment, Mojo and R-Truth were way too caught up with each other that Rick Moss was like, you know what, this is my opportunity. He seized it, he saw it, and he completely took advantage of that.
And not only that, but that's how triple threat rules are and how a triple threat match works. You have to seize your opportunity. So I think they kind of forgot a little bit about Rick Moss, so that was, I think, their little mistake that they made throughout the match.
100%. All right, let's move on to Drew McIntyre. Yet again, he comes out to prove his point. He is ready for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. He is confident, he is focused, and he knows he is walking out of WrestleMania WWE Champion.
This is a different McIntyre than what walked into the Royal Rumble. When he walked into the Royal Rumble, I felt that he was confident that he was going to go far and possibly win it. And what happens, he ends up winning it. Now he's even more confident, and that makes him even more dangerous. The fact that he believes that he can beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania just makes him unstoppable right now.
Well, yeah, that's the mentality you have to go in when you face Brock Lesnar. You know, I feel a lot of the competitors are confident enough that they can beat him. But when it really comes down to the match, they're just like, okay, can I really beat him once they see each other face to face? And I think Drew McIntyre is one of the very few competitors that isn't afraid of him. We saw what he did at the Rumble. And because of that, Paul Heyman comes out and he's just like, you know what? You are not going to walk out of WrestleMania champion. You know how Paul Heyman is. He is confident that McIntyre isn't the guy that can beat Brock Lesnar. I am confident that Drew McIntyre can beat Brock Lesnar. However, he's like, you know what? Brock Lesnar isn't here today, but MVP is, and therefore MVP is representing Brock Lesnar in this match. Drew McIntyre versus MVP. Quick match.
So what does McIntyre do? He decides to claymore MVP, and like you said, it was a quick match, setting a statement to Brock Lesnar and be like, I am ready. This is what's coming for you.
Yeah, and keep in mind, because of a claymore, that is exactly how Brock Lesnar got eliminated from the Royal Rumble. So if Brock isn't ready for this claymore, he is definitely going to lose the championship at WrestleMania. And you really have to give it to McIntyre. I feel like if he really goes in with the mentality that he can beat Brock, and if he doesn't let Paul Heyman get inside his head from here up until Mania, he has a chance to be able to walk out champion.
I have to agree with you on that. If he doesn't let Paul Heyman get into his head, like you said, he has a higher possibility of beating Brock Lesnar, which I agree with you on that too. I think he's going to defeat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's move on to Becky Lynch. She comes out with a bag full of money. And basically what she says is, you know what? Take this as a down payment for the beating I'm going to give Shayna. And she is confident that Shayna's going to walk out at the Elimination Chamber as the number one contender to face her at WrestleMania. Keep in mind, she is angry, she is upset, because last week on Raw, Shayna Baszler came out and she bit her, pretty much sent her to the hospital, and Becky Lynch wants retribution.
I don't blame Becky Lynch. If I was in Becky Lynch's shoes, I'd probably be just doing the same thing, trying to get retribution, trying to get my hands on Shayna Baszler because of what she did. And honestly, what Shayna Baszler did wasn't right. But at the end of the day, that's how Shayna Baszler is going to break down Becky Lynch, and she's doing a smart strategy. And what is it? She's getting into her head, and it seems to be working out fine.
Yeah, and at this point, Shayna comes out. She's in the Titron, and again, she's getting inside of the head of Becky Lynch. She knows how to pick Becky's bones, and that's exactly what she is doing. And she's like, you know what? I am in the Elimination Chamber match, and I'm going to go through the other five competitors. And she doesn't say go through. She says, I'm going to bite or chew through the other five competitors and then get my chance to finally beat you at WrestleMania.
Keep in mind, this is going to be Shayna Baszler's first Elimination Chamber, so things could possibly change. I mean, you've seen the Elimination Chambers. Everybody knows how they work. 1 second you're in, and next thing you know, you're already eliminated. So it's going to be a tough one, but I do believe that Shayna Baszler has a huge opportunity of winning.
And to be completely honest with you, the only competitors in this match that have been in the Elimination Chamber match before are Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. Those are the only two women that are in this Elimination Chamber match that have actually been in an Elimination Chamber match before. Therefore, that gives them the advantage. Is Shayna Baszler prepared for that? Sure. She says, you know what? This match takes place in a cage. I am used to fighting inside of a cage. Yes, that gives Shayna the advantage, but she also has to keep in mind there will be five other competitors going up against her, and they know she's the biggest target. So don't be surprised if you see all of them going after Shayna Baszler.
And not only that, but you could use the cage as a weapon, and that's very, very crucial. This is a career-changing match for everybody that's in the Elimination Chamber.
So it's going to be interesting to see who walks out of the Elimination Chamber the number one contender for Becky Lynch's title at WrestleMania. All right, let's move on to Rusev and Humberto Carrillo versus Angel Garza and Bobby Lashley.
A lot of history between these four superstars. Obviously, Humberto Carrillo with Garza and Bobby Lashley with Rusev.
Going into this match, already Garza and Lashley have the advantage, and I'll tell you why. They have Zelina and Lana. Those two women know how to get inside their opponent's head, and that is exactly what they are. That is their speciality. And going into this match, you already know Rusev is not 100%. And I say that because why? He's too distracted. He's still caught up in the drama with Lana. And he's gonna, and if he lets that get inside of his head, he's completely done for. And on the other hand, Humberto Carrillo is going up against family. So he definitely wasn't prepared for this.
I have to agree with you on that one. It's just a whole bunch of circumstances where a lot of these superstars were not focused because of what was going on between them.
Yes, and you really have to give the credit to Angel Garza, though. I really do see the talent in him. I don't feel like he needs Selena to be there by his side, but he definitely does prove what he can do inside of the ring, and I feel like now that he is partnered with Selena, I think she can do so much with his career. She can take him to a whole nother level. I'm not fond of the whole Lashley and Lana thing. I think they could be doing other stuff with Lana, greater things with Lana. I think Lashley is great on his own. He doesn't need Lana there. You've seen what he can do over the last couple of weeks. He definitely is impressive, but I feel like when Andrade returns, he's going to spiral down again. I don't think he's really ready for what Selena, Garza, and Andrade have prepared for him when they come back.
And then Rusev, super impressive in and out of the ring. I think ever since he came back, he's just been a whole different beast in the ring.
He definitely has. I feel like he used the whole Lana betrayal thing as motivation, and he's definitely been better inside of the ring. Again, he's one of those that doesn't need Lana. He doesn't need management there, but that could potentially fulfill his career to a whole nother level, and it's going to be great to see what's next for Rusev after this whole feud with Lashley is over. I would like to personally see him with somebody like Aleister Black. I think he would be able to deliver a really great match. Not only is he a powerhouse, but he's also a great striker, and I think he would balance out with Aleister Black.
I have to agree with you on that one. I do see that match happening, and I think it will be one of the great matches in this year if it does happen.
All right, let's move on to Natalya versus Kairi Sane.
We haven't seen very much of Kairi Sane, I believe, since TLC, I believe.
Yeah.
Since Charlotte and Becky faced them for the tag team titles. And it was great to see Kairi Sane back.
It definitely was great to see her back. It feels like she hasn't lost a beat. It looks like she's more prepared than ever. The time off that she took has really benefited her inside of the ring. However, she wasn't prepared for somebody like Natalya. I think Kairi Sane went into this match thinking, you know what, I have Asuka by my side, I have Asuka in my corner, and that's all I need. Natty, on the other hand, she's a veteran. She knows exactly what she's doing. She knew Asuka was going to be there, and she was prepared for that.
She was prepared, and what happened, she ended up getting caught up at the end with Asuka.
Well, yeah, because the numbers game played a huge disadvantage for Natty, but at the end of the day, experience is what matters, and it's going to be interesting to see how this ends up playing out. I could see Natty going for the tag titles. The question is, who will partner with Natalya to take on the Kabuki Warriors? That's the question as of right now.
Yeah. I mean, you could possibly throw maybe Sarah Logan into that picture.
I mean, there is a lot of possibilities, but there also isn't. That Raw roster is cut so short right now. But I feel like ever since the Kabuki Warriors have had the championships, there really hasn't been much there. But part of that was because Kairi Sane was injured. And now that she's back, I want to see what they can actually do with those tag team titles.
But not only that, during this match, you could also see how Kairi Sane and Asuka work well together. That's why they are the tag team champions, and that's why they are where they're at right now.
And it's going to be hard to see who can dethrone them. I already have an idea. I feel like it should be Fire and Desire. I think that team should have held the championships at this point, but it's going to have to wait and see how it plays out leading to the road to WrestleMania. All right, moving on to Buddy Murphy and AOP. They pretty much introduced Seth. He's supposed to have a summon. To make it very, very short for you guys, the Viking Raiders and Kevin Owens come out and they pretty much attack him. And at this point, the Viking Raiders and KO come up on top. And that's something Seth Rollins didn't like. He is not happy about it.
He is not happy because Kevin Owens still trying to get retribution on Seth Rollins because of all the attacks he has done on him.
Definitely agree with you on that one, but I also feel like he wasn't prepared. I think he thought the whole feud with Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders was done. He did say it. He was like, you know what, this is what happens when you're not on the right side of history. And I really do believe he felt like he was done with Kevin Owens, and the fact that Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders came out and attacked them when they weren't ready, I feel like that really was something that triggered Seth Rollins.
Not only that, but the Viking Raiders are also trying to get their rematch that they haven't got yet for the tag team title. So I feel that also has to do a lot with the end. Like you said, Kevin Owens still hasn't had his one-on-one match with Seth Rollins.
100%. Could that potentially be a match we see at WrestleMania?
I mean, we can. Yeah, we have yet to find out to see what where direction they decide to go, but that would be a great match as well because they haven't faced each other yet in a one-on-one situation recently.
We're still a few weeks away, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, moving on to the OC, and AJ Styles is back from, I believe it was a shoulder injury that kept him out over the last couple of weeks. He's finally back, and it looks like he's prepared and ready for a new challenge. He comes out and basically says, I am the greatest in-ring competitor of this generation. We can't disagree with him because he's not wrong. I do see him as one of the greatest talents in the world.
It's debatable. People are, like you said, people can see him as one of the greatest performers of all times and one of our generation. So it depends on how you want to see it, but I do have to agree with him. He is probably one of the best ones that we've seen in this business.
One of the things he does say is, I'm going to go into Super Showdown and I'm going to come out victorious from that gauntlet match. Not only that, though, he compares himself to people like The Undertaker, people like Seth Rollins, some of the greatest of all time. And don't get me wrong, he has earned that right, because as we said, he definitely falls into the category of top 10 best wrestlers in the entire world. But somebody like Ricochet thought it was super offensive, so he comes out and he's like, well, you know what? You don't disrespect people like that. Personally, I don't think he was really disrespecting them. I just feel like he feels like he's at the level of them, and you gotta give him that.
Yeah, I don't blame AJ Styles for comparing himself to the caliber of those superstars, but at the same time, he was also making fun of Ricochet and saying, like, dude, you think you could beat Brock Lesnar? And, I mean, AJ, if you really analyze the match versus AJ versus Brock Lesnar, AJ did take him to the limit, so he does have some stuff to back himself up, but like I said, he ended up making fun of Ricochet, and Ricochet didn't like that.
Exactly, and AJ was like, you know what, I don't think you can beat Brock Lesnar, like Armando said, and he's like, and I really don't think you earned the opportunity to face Brock Lesnar. And Ricochet is like, yeah, I definitely did. And he wants a fight. He wants to prove what he can do inside of the ring and how far he can take Brock Lesnar. And so he challenges AJ Styles to a match. And AJ, because he feels like he is at a different level, is like, no, you won't face me, but you can face somebody like Carl Anderson. Therefore, that leads into Ricochet versus Carl Anderson.
Yeah, and then Ricochet, known to his wrestling style, he starts off the match with top speed. High flying.
Definitely. He does. I think he went into this match fired up. I think he really was upset because of what AJ said. I think he took it to heart. But I also know exactly who Ricochet is. That is exactly what he does. Starts the match off fast. He's quick about it. And I think that's one of the advantages that he has. And if he goes into this match with Brock Lesnar at Super Showdown like that, if he starts it off like that, I think he really has the opportunity to tire out Brock Lesnar.
And speaking of Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar seems to struggle a lot with smaller guys that are quick, like AJ, like Finn Balor, and like Ricochet. So we'll see how that plays out at the end.
And I think part of that comes from the speed, you know, and I think Brock is quick, but he's not that quick. And I think that's something he's just not used to, and he definitely does struggle, and that's Ricochet style, and that's something he uses to his advantage. And Carl Anderson, I mean, he's one half of one of the greatest tag teams in the entire world, and you have to give him credit for that. I think he definitely went into this match prepared. He knew he was at the advantage because he had AJ and Gallows at ringside.
But not only that, he could also compete in singles competition as well, so he really doesn't need Luke Gallows and AJ on his side.
He definitely doesn't, but he's a lot more confident the fact that they're there, because if something goes wrong, he knows he has them to back him up. And he can back himself up inside of the ring. We've seen that so many times, and he's good. He is one of the greatest competitors that I've ever seen. But I think he just was a lot more confident having them by their sides. And Ricochet, I mean, what's left for that guy to prove? I mean, he's really done almost everything now. Obviously, now he's going to get a championship opportunity. Do I see him beating Brock Lesnar? Definitely not. But I do see him taking Brock to his limit.
I agree with you on that. He's probably going to take Lesnar to the limit. Just because once Lesnar gets into Suplex City, it's pretty much impossible to stop him. And then not only that, but the power that Lesnar possesses is just unbeatable. That's why they call him the Beast.
100%. All right, let's move on to Liv very, very quickly. She is getting interviewed by Charlie in the back. And she's like, you know what? The old Liv Morgan would have been broken. The old Liv Morgan would have been hurt because of what happened. Now she says, I'm not a puppy on a leash anymore. I am ready and I am going to go through Ruby Riott at the Elimination Chamber and guarantee her spot at WrestleMania.
She could be a potential winner in the chamber. Like I said, anybody could win it of these women that are participating. But strong words from Liv Morgan. She needs to be more confident, more focused on what she's doing.
I definitely do think she's confident and focused on what she's doing. She's going into this match thinking, okay, I'm going to go in, eliminate Ruby Riott, and guarantee myself a victory. However, she has to keep in mind Shayna Baszler is also in this match, and she's probably the biggest target in that entire match. So if she can somehow bring the Riott squad together to take out Shayna Baszler, then yes, she has a chance and a possibility of potentially going to WrestleMania to challenge Becky Lynch.
The only thing that Liv doesn't let happen is for Ruby Riott to get in her head. You know, if she focuses on the match and kind of forgets a little bit about Ruby Riott and the attack and doesn't try to get revenge, I think she has a huge possibility of winning, because once she loses focus, then I think it might be over.
I agree with you on that one. All right, let's move on to the main event, which is Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders versus Murphy and AOP.
From the get-go, you pretty much already knew this was going to be a total brawl. These guys pretty much hate each other, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get their hands on each other.
You really have to give props to both teams, though, because I've seen Kevin Owens team with somebody like the Viking Raiders, and the chemistry that they have inside of the ring is really, it's really incredible.
And the AOP doing a lot of smart tag team, and what I mean by that is they were able to isolate half of the ring and keep Kevin Owens on their side, meaning that they didn't let the Viking Raiders tag in at all.
Not just Kevin Owens, but any member of that team, and they kept going back and forth, frequent tags. They made sure each competitor stayed fresh at each time. And the fact that they let Buddy Murphy digest somebody like Kevin Owens for a while was absolutely incredible. They knew exactly what they were doing.
But if you actually analyze the match on paper, these teams are pretty much evenly all around. Why? Because you have speed and not only that, power with the AOP, but the same thing with Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders, which is the powerhouses. So they're pretty much even.
They definitely are. Kevin Owens, that guy is just incredible. He continues to impress me each and every single week, and I definitely do want to see him finally end this feud and come out victorious. Him potentially taking out Seth Rollins and the AOP, including Buddy Murphy, I think would be great. Does he need the win? Definitely not. I mean, I think he's done a great job helping Seth carry this entire feud. Props to Seth and Kevin Owens, though, for bringing the AOP, Murphy, and the Viking Raiders along. They're definitely doing a great job putting them over, and now more than ever, I am more interested in the AOP.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, they've always been one of my favorite tag teams since they were down in NXT, and putting them with Seth Rollins, I think it was a great idea. They're going to get to open themselves out more. We're probably going to see more of them as well, too.
And Buddy Murphy, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared to see what they were gonna do next after his feud with Aleister Black. I was like, oh no, this is it. What else could they potentially have for Buddy Murphy? What if he just gets lost again in the midst of all the superstars? But the fact that they added him to AOP and Seth Rollins was brilliant. that is genius, because you see him every week and he's with somebody like Seth Rollins, who you know is definitely going to help him in his career.
Yeah, he's going to use Seth Rollins as a mentor, but keep in mind, I personally wouldn't trust Buddy Murphy as much, because I see him as that type of guy that he could betray Seth Rollins and use the AOP to his advantage. But I don't know, that's just my opinion and that's just me.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I can potentially see him as somebody like Dolph Ziggler, who uses every competitor he could possibly get his hands on and uses them to his advantage to get where they want to be in their career. And that I definitely see Murphy doing something like that. Whereas in the other hand, Kevin Owens is not going to do that. Also, but you also can't trust Kevin Owens. He's also known for betraying the closest people to him. But at this point, I feel like he can't do that. I feel like he needs the Viking Raiders in order for him to even have a chance against Murphy, AOP, and Seth Rollins.
And again, as comparing the similarities between the team, that was another perfect example between Kevin Owens, that Kevin Owens is that type of person that he could also betray the Viking Raiders. But another thing too, Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy said, okay, if I join Seth Rollins and the AOP, I have a huge chance of going somewhere, of getting a title shot. And sure enough, what happens? The first title shot he gets, it's a tag team championship, and he ends up winning. So I don't blame him in joining the AOP and Seth Rollins. But like I said, I just get that feeling that he could be the one that could betray Seth Rollins.
Yes, and I can definitely see that. And I think slowly every single member is going to turn their back on him. And I do see Buddy Murphy being the first one. And I see AOP following in his footsteps, and maybe they'll just become a trio and Seth will be left alone, and maybe that's how the story ends. I really don't know, but I am looking forward to seeing how AOP is going to develop in the next couple of months.
But I do see the AOP, Buddy Murphy, and Seth Rollins being a faction for quite some time. You know, this is pretty much going to be the faction to be. I really don't see anybody in the main roster taking them down up until now.
Hint. In the main roster right now. I can think of a team that can take them down, but they're currently not on the main roster. Personally, I would go with Undisputed Era. I think if there's a team that can do it, it's definitely Undisputed Era. They have absolutely everything to take down this team.
And think about it, the epic match that they would have just because of the amount of star power that will be in the ring. But analyzing that, I would probably end up going with the AOP, with the Undisputed Era, if it ends up happening, because they are more experienced. They've been together longer. And I mean, if you see those guys work, it's just amazing what they do as a faction.
Here's one thing I can tell you though. Seth Rollins will definitely get inside of the head of the Undisputed Era, but there's one thing Undisputed Era won't let him do. And that's them coming out victorious. They work extremely well together. They know exactly what they're doing, and they digest all of their opponents. So if there's somebody that can take this entire stable down, I feel like it should be the Undisputed Era. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's all we have. It was a pretty good, interesting Monday Night Raw. Let's see what next week has in store for all of us.
And remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. For those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, Armando, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time.